Let's turn tonight as we continue our study in the book of Genesis. We're in chapter 17 tonight. We're just going to cover one chapter, as at the end of the service, I'd like to kind of have a time of prayer. And, we left off there in Genesis 16 last time we were together, and with Abram attempting, he and Hagar, of course, along with Sarai, attempting to fulfill God's promise through the work of the flesh. And raising up seed, through the flesh instead of through the power of the Spirit. And, let me say something about Genesis chapter 16 before we get into chapter 17 tonight. We all have works of the flesh. Amen? I mean, we don't want any Ishmaels in our life. We want to just walk in the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, and be full of the Spirit all the time. But, chapter 16 was kind of a downer in a way, because you see someone like Abram, they loved the Lord with all their heart. And Sarah, they loved the Lord. They believed in God. But what happened after 10 long years, and they still had not had the promised child born, they didn't stop loving God. They didn't stop believing in God. They just stopped believing in the supernaturalness of God. And we can all do that, can't we? We can all turn to something else when it's not working because we don't want to wait on God. Listen, may I say something to you tonight before we even get into chapter 17? Don't ever give up. Don't ever, ever give up. Don't let up. You trust the Word of God until the day you stop breathing. Amen? And then the day you stop breathing, guess what happens? You're home at last. You're going to be with the Lord forever and ever and ever. And it just doesn't get any, in Texas talk, gooder than that. Amen? Now, with all that being said, 13 years now is going to transpire between chapter 16 and chapter 17. And God hasn't spoken a word or recorded word to Abram since chapter 16. So 13 long years without a word from God. And Abram now has been following the Lord for about 24 years. And the dialogue here, this is an incredible chapter, because God is going to be speaking all the way down to verse 16. So let's begin in chapter 17 tonight, talking about Almighty God. It says, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him. So 99 years old, and believe me, his body is as good as dead when it comes to raising up a child. Amen? Okay. And it says that, and look what God said to him. He said, I am Almighty God. Walk before me. In other words, be conscious of my presence. Walk before me and be blameless. I wish the scripture that the Lord had a little bit more added to it. In other words, Lord, what time of day was it? Was it night? Was it day? Was it spring? When was this happening? And matter of fact, what was Abram doing when you talked to him, spoke to him? Just after 13 long years, God says in his first words, I'm Almighty God. That's the first time that's used here. That's El Shaddai. And I remember one night many, many years ago when my son Thomas was a little boy, we were sitting at the supper table together and just enjoying a nice meal. And you know how little kids are. They look over and says, Daddy, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. What is it, son? He said, what's God's first name? And of course, my theological mind, went into bankruptcy, And all of a sudden, it was a word from the Lord. I looked at him and I said, Thomas, God's first name is Almighty God. He is Almighty God. Amen. Our Lord, our God, our Father in heaven, He is El Shaddai. And that's the first time this occurs in Scripture. In other words, He's saying, Abram, listen to me carefully. I am the God that is more than enough. I am the God who is not only self-sufficient, I am all-sufficient, I am all-powerful, and there is absolutely nothing too hard or difficult for me. Matter of fact, the word impossible isn't even in God's vocabulary. Amen? And that's what we're facing tonight. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, I tell you, El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough, is here for us. And matter of fact, He's here with us right now. It says here that Abram, walk before me and be blameless. Not sinless, but be blameless. In other words, without spot, without blemish. That's what that word blameless means there. But literally, it's be sincere. Be single-hearted. Now, the condition of this covenant that God made is not based or predicated upon Abram. We have already learned that. It's predicated and based on what God said He's going to do. So it's not conditional when it comes to Abraham. What God is saying to Abram is, Abram, I want you to be confident in what I say and what I have promised. I'm going to bring it to pass. And he says in verse 2, I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Now you remember the Lord's already told Abram, he said, remember in Genesis, I think it was 13, he said, look at the dust. Look at the dust of the earth. It says, so shall your descendants be. And then over in chapter 15, he said, Abram, he took him outside and said, go look up at the stars. If you can count them, so shall your descendants be, as numerous as the stars. So this in verse 2 is not a new covenant or another covenant, rather. This is the reaffirming of the covenant that God established with him in Genesis chapter 12 and Genesis chapter 15. So Abe is nearly 100 years old and Sarai, she's nearly 90. And God is saying, you know what? You're not going to remain childless. And then Abram fell on his face. And I love this. And God talked with him saying. Isn't that an incredible verse? And you know what? Abram's going to remain on his face all the way to verse 22. His body was dead, meaning that they were past childbearing years. Amen? It was over with for them, and he knew it. But what's so wonderful about what follows is that nothing is required from Abram. It's all by grace. Watch this. God says to him, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and ye shall be a father of many nations. So God is saying, listen, I'm El Shaddai. I am more than enough. I'm sufficient for whatever you need. And as far as God is concerned, it's already done, Abram. You remember what Paul wrote in Romans 4:17? He said this, God who gives life to the dead and call those things which do not exist as though they did. Who gives life to the dead. Aren't you glad that we're not dead tonight? We're not dead any longer in trespasses and sins, that God has quickened us. He's made us alive. Oh, how we need to be the light of this world. How we need to walk in the fullness of the Spirit. How we need to be people that pray and not ever give up in our prayer clauses. I mean, we go there and we stay there, persistent. If there's ever been a time that we need to pray as a church body, it's tonight. It's tonight. It's right tonight, right now. And we're going to pray in just a minute. But, you know, when I look at this and I thank God for the word, he says, and no longer will your name be called Exalted Father, Abram. No longer. I'm not going to call you that anymore. Your name shall be Father of a Multitude. In other words, Abraham. Now watch this. For I, not Abram, for I have made you a father of many nations. El Shaddai, the Almighty God, the God who is more than enough. You know what? That word H there. In other words, he's inserted the Hebrew letter H now, that ha sound, if you will, and it's like the sound of breath. In other words, God just inserted himself in a sense in the breath or the life of Abram. He quickened him, the same thing he's going to do to Sarah. And it says, and I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings shall come forth from you. Well, we know David, Solomon, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I'll make you exceedingly fruitful. And nations, I will make nations of you. 4,000 years, roughly now, have passed since this time. And what a family. I mean, you think about Abraham, he's the father of the Jews. He's also, through Ishmael, he's the father of the Arabs. And then how about Keturah, his wife, when he marries later after Sarah dies, and all the descendants that came from her. And then he's also the father of all of those who trust in Jesus Christ, all of us that are here tonight. We're his spiritual children. You're talking about a huge family. Has God multiplied that or what? Exceedingly fruitful. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Now, question, how long is an everlasting covenant? Amen. It's forever. Listen, this covenant that God has made with Abram is unconditional. It's irrevocable. It's absolute. Nothing can change it. I wish the United Nations knew that tonight, don't you? I wish Ahmadinejad would memorize this scripture. It might help him out a little bit as well. And especially if the Arab world would read and believe the next verse in verse 8. And God says to Abram, He says, also, I give to you and to your descendants after you the what? The land in which you are a stranger. Now watch this. All, not some, all the land of Canaan. And look at this. As an everlasting possession. In other words, a possession for all eternity. And I will be their God. Now I know that this refers to the global regathering there in the millennial reign. But loved one, listen, they're back in the land now. May 14th, 1948, Israel became a nation. They're back in the land right this minute. And isn't it amazing? Every day Israel's in the news. All the things that are happening. You know, I believe that we're so close. We need to lift up our heads because our redemption draweth nigh tonight. Amen. And then it says, and God said to Abraham, and as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, throughout their generations. Now, this is my covenant, the cutting, the covenant here, okay? Which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you, every male child among you shall be circumcised. And you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign. It shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. So the sign then was visible. It was a visible sign, if you will. So the cutting away of the flesh, that removal there, it's symbolic to us as to him as separation. Come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will be a father unto you, and so forth. I will receive you. It's also symbolic of us walking in the Spirit or of our baptism. Circumcision, then, is the sentence, if you will, of death to the flesh. And I'm going to talk about more on that as we get to the end of the message here. But go ahead and let's go to verse 12. And he who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male in your generations, and he who is born in your house are bought with money from any foreigner who is just not your descendant. And he who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money must be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for how long? An everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person will be cut off, will be separated from his people. Why? He has broken my covenant. So when a little baby comes into this world, after 1 week, the eighth day, they are circumcised. And it's eight, remember, is the number of the resurrection. Eight's the number of the new beginning. And I tell you, I'm so thankful that God gives us a new beginning every day. And later on, you know, when we study through the whole history of the Jews and all that they go through, they're going to go off and get into idolatry and all that stuff. But you know what? God's covenant is still everlasting. It's not predicated upon them. It's predicated upon God and His righteousness. So no one can stop that and nothing can destroy it. And then God said to Abraham, as for Sarah, thy wife, you'll not call her Sarai, but Sarah, meaning princess, shall her name. And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her. Isn't that something? Sarah had one child, Isaac, and from all of that, she's the mother of nations. And look what Abraham did. And then Abram fell on his face and laughed. I love that. And said in his heart, God, have you not seen that I'm in a wheelchair and Sarah's in a walker? No, you know, he just started laughing and said in his heart, oh, shall a child be born to a man is 100 years old and Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? Lord, have you seen her lately? You know what I mean. Isn't God great? He just waits until we can't do anything and he does it for us. He does it through the power of the Holy Spirit. I look at this and I'm so glad. You know what? Isn't laughter a wonderful gift from God? We don't laugh enough anymore. And you know, there's not anything to laugh about on TV. And there's certainly not anything to laugh about on the news. I mean, I can watch the news and start weeping to see the things that are happening in our nation and around the world. But laughter, the laughter of faith. I mean, you know what? Wouldn't it be amazing if we were just so excited about what God has promised that we just bellied up laughing right now? You understand that we'd go down the street on 820 when it's in that traffic jam that you can't get out for 3 hours? Did I tell you I got another ticket? Oh, yeah. And I'm on probation. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm excited. I'm saying, God, what is going to happen now if you let them take my driver's license away from me? No tickets for 25 years, and all of a sudden, you know, I turned 40, and you know how they got me? Well, it wasn't like I was trying to get a ticket. They have those cameras. I stopped. I watched the video, but I didn't stop enough. Oh, yeah. I saw it. I repeated it over and over again. I'm guilty. You know, God sees us just like that, doesn't He? Sees everything we do, knows everything we do, everything we say. I don't want to get ticketed by our Lord. No, I don't want anything against me, and you don't want anything against you. We want to be cleansed in Jesus' name. I'm thankful for that. But He laughed. Well, we need to laugh more. You know about the laughter of faith. You know, when problems come into our life, we don't need to deny them. We know that they're there. We don't need to walk in denial and say that doesn't exist when it does exist. But there's something about a good word. Doesn't it make our heart glad? I tell you, we need a good word from God. Some of you tonight need a word when you wake up in the middle of the night and you're struggling. You're hurting and you don't know what to do. You don't know which way to turn. You know, listen, a lot of the things that we need to do is concentrate on what we do know about God and not the things we don't know. The things that you do know, put it into practice. You know, whenever God told Abram, walk before me and be blameless, to walk before Him meant to walk and be in my presence. You know, we need to practice awareness. The Holy Spirit is not only in us, He's not only sealed us, He is alongside us. Amen? He's here tonight with us. Just like in Genesis, when He was hovering over the darkness of the water, the emptiness, the wasteland, the confusion, the Holy Spirit is always hovering over us to remove the darkness from our life, to bring light into the situation, into your situation. A lot of us hurt the things that are happening. I tell you, one of my favorite Psalms, Psalm 61:2, and I go there often to this and pray this often, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. Amen. And sometimes our hearts can become overwhelmed. The situations come into our life and the circumstances. But you know, this circumstance with Abram tonight, when God was speaking to him and he says, oh, Lord, you got to be kidding me. You know, I mean, you know, here I am, I'm dead, and so's my wife, and we're going to have a child. It's finally going to happen. And he starts laughing. And then all of a sudden, as he's laughing, something happened to Abram's heart because someone else filled his heart. Look at verse 18. And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Remember the Ishmael, God named him. What is it? That name means God hears. And he says, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. So the heart of a father who is crying out to the heart of the father of all. He's saying, listen, I love him. He's 13 years old now, Father. I love him. It wasn't his fault that he was born. It wasn't his fault that, it was my fault and Sarah's fault and Hagar. It was wrong. It was a work of the flesh, but I love him. And so what did God say about Ishmael being the heir? God said, hey, no. He didn't soften it, did he? He said, no, Abram, no. Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son. You'll call his name Laughter, Isaac. Isn't that wonderful? He says, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his descendants after him. So when people say, where did the Lord come from, the Messianic seed? It came from right there. The God-man, our Lord, was born a Jew. Amen? Now, it says there that Isaac, you know, the first baby in the Bible named by the Lord there before he was born was Ishmael. And now the second baby is Isaac. Two boys, two different births. And, our first birth was Ishmael. In other words, it was after the flesh. Our second birth was an Isaac. It's after the power of the Spirit. Amen? We're born again, born from above, new creations by the power of the Lord. And he says in verse 20, he says, and as for Ishmael, You notice that he didn't get a new name or anything. Abraham got one, Sarah got one, but not Ishmael. And it says, as for Ishmael, I've heard you. Behold, I've blessed him. I will make him fruitful, will multiply him exceedingly, and he shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. So we know from him came the Arab world, but God has no covenant with Ishmael, not in his seed at all. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, from whom Sarah shall bear to you at this set time next year. And then he finished talking with him, and God, look at this, went up from Abraham. I wonder if that means it just went right back up into heaven. I don't know. We're not told what that means. And so Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all who were born in his house, all who were bought with money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskins that very same day. Instant obedience. Very same day as God said to him. My question is, I wonder how Abraham explained this to all the males. That would have been my question, okay? Hello. And Abram was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And that very same day, Abraham was circumcised and his son Ishmael, and all the men of his house, born in his house, are bought with money, foreigner, they were circumcised with him. Let me say something. Did Ishmael, 13 years old, did circumcision change Ishmael? No. He was a rebel, and he was going to be a rebel. Matter of fact, he's going to grow up like a wild man, a wild donkey, it says over in the last chapter and so forth. And so, but it's important to remember that the circumcision being the sign of the covenant, okay, it did not make Abraham righteous. That's very important. Turn with me, and let's just do a little study here about circumcision for a moment. Over into the New Testament to Romans, and look at Romans chapter 4. Paul writes in Romans 4, says, what shall we say that Abraham, our father, has found according to the flesh? Okay, according to the flesh. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. And drop right on down now to verse 9. Does this blessedness, in other words, not being charged with our sin, being justified, just as if we had never sinned, the great delete button, in other words, does this blessedness then come upon the circumcised only, meaning only the Jews, or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say that faith, in other words, simply believing God, faith was accounted to Abraham for what? Righteousness. How then was it accounted? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Now look what Paul says. Well, not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. Listen, God called Abraham, remember in Genesis chapter 12, he was 75 years of age. He called him before the law of Moses, before circumcision, any of that ever came into practice at all. Matter of fact, it says in Genesis 15:6, long before there were any Jews, okay, it says that Abraham was counted as righteous before God. Why? He just simply believed. So at the age of 99, he was circumcised, which means that Abraham was declared righteous before God while still uncircumcised. Now listen, circumcision has no saving value whatsoever when it comes to God declaring him righteous. It's very important because then, see, that's a work. That's something we can do. Our righteousness can only come one way, and that's simply by believing. Amen? And that righteousness is not, it's not imparted to us. It's not an imparted righteousness. It's an imputed righteousness. Look at verse 11. And it says, and he received, meaning Abraham, the sign of circumcision, that physical mark there in his body, a seal of righteousness of faith, which he had while still uncircumcised. Why? That he might be the father of all those who believe. That's Jew and Gentile. though they were uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also. You know, listen, when a person then is circumcised, now think about this for a moment. I mean, once that occurs, you know, it's there. In other words, it's permanent. Does that make sense? It's permanent. And so it's an unchangeable act. So the seal there means permanency. It's a guarantee. In other words, once it's done, you can't change it. And you know what? See, we as believers now, we were circumcised. All of us that are believing the Lord. But we were circumcised where? In our hearts. And you can't change that. See, we were also sealed with the Holy Spirit. And when you're sealed with the Holy Spirit, man, He's got you. Amen? See, what's there is so much security. See, the word seal denotes ownership. It denotes security. He has us. It's permanent. And what God seals, I tell you, then He does the changing. Amen? Listen to Colossians 2:11. Let me read to you quickly. It says in Colossians 2:11, it says, in Him you were also circumcised. In other words, that cutting away, the removal, with the circumcision made without hands, that divine surgery, okay? By putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So true circumcision is inward. It's of the heart. It's a new birth. And of course, it's symbolic of our water baptism. But let me ask you a question. Circumcision doesn't impute righteousness. Neither does water baptism. Amen? Water doesn't cleanse you from sin. But, you know, so many Christians neglect water baptism today, and you should not do that. Listen, to be water baptized is a commandment. It's not optional. Every Christian should be water baptized. But so this baptism, though, doesn't impute any righteousness to you. It says in Galatians 6:15, for in Christ neither circumcision, and I should add, or any ritual, nor uncircumcision availeth anything but a new creation. The Bible says in Philippians 3:3, it says, for we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Amen to that. So true circumcision is not outward, it's inward. It's of the heart. Amen? It's being born again.